Sunday morning. This is Mike Sirig, the voice of Vital Ministries. It's good to be with you on your Sunday morning. I hope that today, as we've had a few days of sunshine, it's been nice. We've had a week of rain, a little rain possibly, where they talk about on Sunday afternoon yet, but we're still thankful the Lord's got everything under control. And with that, we praise Him all the time. Just a few things for housekeeping ideas for you just out there. Just again, I want to remind you, this is the last call for our Vital Men motorcycle trip that's coming up May 31st through June 2nd. We are going to be traveling the Mississippi River. Just a great time. We've got a ferry ride planned across the river. Just going to be just a great time for men hanging out. We're going to see the beautiful countryside. And first thing off the bat, each morning, we're going to get together and talk a little bit about what Jesus has for us on that trip. So I'm just excited. If anything you want to get plugged in on that, you can go to our Vital Ministries webpage, or you can give me a call at 641-660-7715 and get more information on there. But again, this is a last call. So if you're interested, make sure you get a hold of me by Monday at the latest, and we'll get your name written down. Also, too, just want to remind people that we send out devotionals 6 days a week, and we send that out to both men and women. It's an added inspiration in the midst of your day. So it kind of gets you that extra charge as you go out, and we got five different writers on the men's side that speak specifically to men and the things that we deal with as guys in our everyday ordinary life, and just encourage you to jump on that. My wife writes for the women. She does a beautiful job. I tell you what, her devotionals just lately have just been phenomenal. I just appreciate how the Holy Spirit is using her in just such a great way. And you can again go to vitalministries.org and check our website out for more information on that. But we're beginning a new teaching series today on What's Your Poison? Now, that's an interesting teaching name, but as I was praying and asking the Holy Spirit, the word of addictions just kept coming up into my mind. That much as of our country is getting consumed by one form of addiction or another. And as I was praying about this, I kept hearing in my spirit that the addictions were not only with those who don't claim to be Christian, but also though it's growing in the Christian community as well, that it's becoming more and more difficult to see the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. But today I'm excited. I got Pastor Bill Tweed from Jubilee Church right here in Oskaloosa is with us this morning. Good morning, Pastor Bill, and welcome.
Oh, good morning, Mike, and thanks again for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you. This is a great topic today, and I believe we're going to help a lot of people that are listening in, because addiction is becoming almost an epidemic in our culture today, and we need to address it head on with the Word of God.
Absolutely, and I think it's going to be some really good helps as we move along with people, because we're going to be dealing with more specifics as we go on as the Sundays come. But today we're going to kind of get a general overview of the groundwork, plowing up the soil to get a better understanding of why we go to the poison of which addiction can consume our minds and our bodies. But let's get a clear definition this morning about what addictions are and how should a Christian view these addictions. So the first definition this morning, Pastor Bill, is to cause to become psychologically dependent or a habit forming on a substance. And if you would you, we're going to kind of pull out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And if you're home today and you've got your Bibles, we're going to be kind of moving around, so just have your Bibles ready. If you're traveling down the highway, you've tuned into KBOE 104.9. We are glad you are listening. Just keep your eyes on the road, and we will give you that great information from the Word of God itself. But Pastor Bill, would you read that for us this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11.
Know ye that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, how far was I supposed to read, Pastor Mike?
Just through 11.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that is a great scripture to start out with today.
It is. It really kind of encompasses the whole identity of addiction within itself. But also, too, Pastor Bill, the thing that really jumps out at me as I read this, it says that we are cleansed. It says right here, it says that you were cleansed, and you were made holy. And God does that for us, and that should really be the separation between us of what a Christian faith walk looks like, as opposed to
Amen.
Those that are trying to come onto the world, and you can't see the separation because there's no cleansing in it
yes.
of a choice.
Yes.
So this is a two-part question for us this morning. Why do you think a non-Christian is drawn to an addiction? And also, why do so many in the Christian community fall into the same addictions as those who are not confessing Christians? Tough
well,
question.
That's
here.
A two-part question, yeah.
Yes.
And you know, I look at it like this. We were created to be devoted to and fulfilled by something beyond ourselves.
Amen, that's right.
Which is God.
Right.
And when that's not present, a lost person who doesn't know Christ and does not have that cleansing, does not have that refilling, does not have that new life in Christ and being born again, they are craving something because they have a God-shaped void in their life. And when they go after things, they want to be devoted to something. They want to be fulfilled by something. And so they unknowingly think that a drug, pornography, or some type of an addiction on social media is going to fulfill that,
right.
But it never does. It just leaves a huge void. And
right.
And I think Christians, like you said, have the same problem.
Right, right. But what do you different. Think? Why do you think Christians are struggling with being drawn to the addiction? That's the thing that I want to wrestle with a little bit this morning, because I have a lot of
good
people
question.
Come up, especially men. Mike, I keep struggling into alcoholism. I keep struggling into pornography. I keep struggling into drug addictions and those sort of things. How come I can't? Where's the separation come from?
Well, here's what I believe. The work of the Holy Spirit is always the primary activity in our life. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus comes to us through the agency of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But I believe this because many times we don't stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit," speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms, spiritual songs, and making melody to your heart unto the Lord. So that being filled with the Spirit is the key, because I believe that that void can only be filled by God. And the way that God is with us today is in our heart through the Holy Spirit. So I believe that they don't stay filled many times because they haven't been taught. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." If we don't stay filled by the Word, "My words are spirit and life."
Right.
And if we stay filled with the Word, and then we ask the Holy Spirit to refill us, He does. And in Galatians 5:22, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is joy." I believe joy is one of the greatest preventers of addiction.
Yes, I would.
If you're filled with the Spirit and you're filled with joy, you just want to stay addicted to that joy. You don't have to look for something to make you happy anymore.
Right.
So I think that's what happens even with Christians, because we have maybe not been taught on how vital the Holy Spirit is to our Christian life to stay full of Him and His fruit, joy.
Right. And out of that, it seems like that's where, you know, where people, where they get drawn into the addictions, because they're missing how the Holy Spirit is wanting to fill us.
Yep.
So they assume that the joy is going to be fulfillment of with your spouse, with a sporting, with children, especially today.
Oh, yes.
Man,
yes.
That's a big one.
Because it's wholesome.
Yes.
But it can still be a wrong type of addiction.
Yes, yes. And also too, Pastor Bill, this morning, the second definition is this, is to occupy oneself with or involve oneself in something habitually and compulsively, an obsession with anything other than God.
Yep.
For instance, this morning, you know, we're going to just kind of touch on these things a little bit. As we just said, sports, work, shopping, acquiring stuff. Now, that's totally a different addiction as opposed to what we just said a little bit with
a
alcohol.
Damaging one.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's very much an addiction. Yep. And these things I see especially creeping in to the Christian
Amen.
Community.
Yep.
And we're getting our sights off of what God truly intended for us to be holy and our eyes focused on Him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. One of the go back into the Old Testament. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And this is things where the Jewish people, where God spoke specifically to Moses. And He says this, "You tell the Jewish nation this, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." Now, I find it interesting. A lot of times people will say, well, the Old Testament does not apply to us today. And I would disagree with that to a point.
It's still truth.
It's still truth, yeah. Absolutely. It was still truth to the Jewish nation.
Yeah.
But obviously with the New Testament, it was written for the Gentile nations,
right,
for us. But Jesus goes and responds back and says this in Matthew 22, 37 through 38, almost word verbatim of, yep, Deuteronomy 6, 7.
Yes.
He says, these are Jesus' words. These are red letter. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Isn't that interesting, Pastor Bill? He almost verbatim,
yep,
re-says Deuteronomy 6:5, which came from the Father, from the,
yep,
spoken word through the Holy Spirit, who spoke to men directly in the Old Testament as he spoke to the men in the New Testament.
Absolutely.
And that, I think that's the thing that we wrestle with. So these two verses to us this morning, here's the question. Let's deal with this. Why is the Christian community failing in sports, working, acquiring stuff,
yes,
and allowing that to be possessiveness in our hearts and our minds?
Yeah. Why do we allow good things to become our addiction instead of God?
Right.
See, because we're created to be addicted to God in a sense. I'm going to read a verse out of 1 Corinthians 16, verses 14 and 15. It says that all things be done with charity or agape love, you could say.
Right.
I beseech you, brethren, you know how the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints.
Right.
Our life in Christ is that of a bondservant. Now, we have been freed. You know, redemption means to be freed,
right,
from slavery.
Right.
But it also means when that master purchases us out of slavery, we have a new master that sets us free and loves us. And now we want to serve him as a son,
yes,
not as a slave.
Yes.
Because he is there for our good and he has set us free and we are thankful and we want to serve. And in the house of Stephanas, it says that all things be done in charity. And then he uses this house of Stephanas or this family of Stephanas who addicted themselves to serving others. And I believe that there's something about when we serve others as a servant,
right,
that other things in life become less important because he said he'll pour out his spirit on his servants.
Right.
So he pours his spirit out on servants because it takes the Holy Spirit to serve in a proper way.
Right.
And then when we have that, we have joy in our serving. And, you know, many times we're looking for other things and we can be very devoted to our kids and their basketball tournaments and different things like that. And that feels good and it feels right. But it's not quite what the Lord is wanting us to do. He wants us to devote our time, our talent, our treasure, our everything to him. And I think that that's where these false yokes, because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you when you're serving, the Bible says the anointing will break the yoke.
Right, right.
And there's all kinds of yoke. There's sickness, there's addiction, there's depression, and different things like that. And so when we serve, he pours out his spirit on servants.
Right.
And when the Spirit gets poured out on us, we have the Holy Spirit on us, and it breaks the yokes in our life. I know I've got up in the pulpit before with the yoke of sickness.
Right.
And when the anointing came upon me, it broke that yoke off, and right, I preached that entire sermon, and the sickness was gone.
Right.
So there is something about engaging and being filled with God,
right,
that keeps us from the addictions and that breaks the bondages off our life. Because one thing that's certainly going to attract the Holy Spirit's attention is when we start to serve, he'll pour out his spirit on servants.
Right.
And it breaks those yokes of addiction.
Right, right. You know, one thing that's it's always interesting to me, especially as we get into the summer season and we're all but there.
Yeah.
There's all but an exodus from the church.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And again, I think a lot of it has to do with around two things. It revolves especially around sports because, you know, now not only the games during the week can be sufficient, which where young children are going out and they're playing as much as two games in a week at an,
yeah,
evening.
Yeah.
So then we push them into another ball team again, and,
yeah,
now they're going out on the weekend and then playing in the tournaments one weekend after another. Now here's the thing that we wrestle with, because some people say, well, Mike, you're being judgmental. Well, let's break it down a little,
yeah,
bit. My thinking is, what are we communicating to our kids of what's important?
That's right.
And I think that's a rub, which we now create, okay,
yeah,
now here's this hole. Is the hole inside of my children of wanting to play sports,
yeah,
or is it me wanting to the thing that I wasn't able to do,
yeah,
that I'm that's I think is going to fulfill me through my children.
Yep. We're training them. What are you going to train your children to be fulfilled by?
Right. Right.
Because you can misguide them into thinking that this is going to fulfill you, when later on in life, when we become more mature, we'll find out that does not fulfill us.
Absolutely. And less than 1% of the population truly will become professionals in professional sports.
Exactly.
So not the professional.
And sports. I love sports, and my kids are in sports.
I love to watch a good baseball game.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just, especially in the summer. There's nothing better than sitting, having a hot dog, drinking a Coke, and watching a game. Right?
Amen.
It's just fun. It's fun.
Good family fun.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. And we're not saying that this morning that it isn't, but I think we need to look at where's the things that possess our mind that creates the addictions that also too that we can also pass on to our children. One of the things I struggled with, Pastor Bill, especially in my younger life and even dealing with today, I got to really watch it. It's easy for me to get consumed in work.
Oh yes,
I became
another good thing.
And it was, and God calls us to work. Yep. But what the problem was, it became such an obsession, which became an addiction for me, that it drove me, and it was more so out of pleasing people instead of pleasing God. When I really stand back and look at that, and the Holy Spirit really worked on me and challenged me in that area. And that's part of the reason, to be honest with you, Pastor Bill, that I was working two full-time jobs and I was being consumed, doing a lot of good things in my mind for the Lord. But the problem was my obedience and my obsession was on what I was doing for the Lord as opposed to being on the Lord.
Oh, well, it says, Mike, that there'll be those who'll come and say, we cast out devils in your name, we prophesied in your name, we did many, many, the word many, wonderful works in your name.
Yes.
But then he'll turn around and say, I never knew you.
Yes.
Those are just works that we do out of our own thinking instead of, again, being filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and fulfilled by the Spirit of God in our lives.
Absolutely. We're going to jump into this next. Many, many Christians today are in bondage to addictive behaviors. They want to be free, but they don't know how. So here's the question, Pastor Bill. Do you think Christians today really seek deliverance for... This is a tough question.
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
Do you think Christians today really seek deliverance for their addictive behaviors, or are they wanting empathy to stay in them? Oh, man. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit put that on my heart, and I know, Mike, it's like an arrow that has just been shot, right?
It is.
But I think it's worthwhile to wrestle with this question.
It's a great question to bring up.
Yes.
And, you know... If you want me to proceed,
yes, keep going.
I think both cases are out there. I think that you do have both.
Yes.
And I think some want empathy, but they need to come to themselves in the pig pen of addiction like the prodigal son.
Yeah.
And maybe they aren't ready.
Yes.
Even though they should be, but human nature is sometimes we've got to go spend some time in the pig pen and come to ourselves before we say, wow, I had it better when I wasn't in this mess.
Right.
And addiction is like that.
Right.
And I think that lots of times it's not until people are in the pig pen that they come to themselves and they come to the sorrow that leads to repentance.
Right.
See, 2 Corinthians, Paul talked about that sorrow that leads us to repentance. Others seek and give up. And I'll tell you what I really believe here. My people perish for a lack of knowledge, it says in Hosea 4:6.
Right.
There are people in the church that honestly want out of their addictions. They honestly, you know, some kind of want to stay in it and just have cheap grace and say, you know what, God's grace covers it. You know, not all is expedient or lawful, you know. But it's something I can do, and I feel like I can still do it, but it's not going to get me in that much trouble. Well, it will in time.
Right.
All sin will cause you to pay more than you want to pay, stay longer than you want to stay. And so it's really a bad thing. But here's the thing about many Christians, I believe. My people perish for a lack of knowledge, the Bible says. All addiction starts with sin.
Right.
Period.
Right.
And all sin is addictive.
Right.
Jesus is our model of temptation. He was filled by the Spirit and led by the Spirit into and through the wilderness temptation.
Right.
So God did not send his son Jesus into the temptation of the wilderness with Satan himself until he was filled and led by the Holy Spirit. You cannot win the temptation game.
Right.
Just out of your own willpower.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Right.
You have to be empowered by the Spirit to defeat, and you have to speak the word. How did Jesus defeat the devil on every level of temptation, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? He said, it is written, Mr. Devil. And the devil came and he said, if thou be the Son of God. The first thing the devil will always question is if you're a child of God. He will always question what God says about you. And you're going to have to tell him what God says about you.
Absolutely.
So Jesus was filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit in the wilderness, tempted of the devil. And he demonstrated for us how to defeat him by being filled and speaking the word. Addiction is like that too, because addiction is just the devil left for a season, and we know Jesus knew that he would come back again.
Absolutely.
Because he always comes back. And addiction is really when a man, he may go months without pornography, but then he always they go back. That's how you know a person's addicted.
Right.
And that's, the devil comes back with those same type of temptations. So we've got to stay filled and led. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it says in Galatians.
Right.
So to me, I think that that person who wants out, they need to be taught how to be filled, led, resist temptation by speaking the word, and know that if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it says in Galatians 5:16.
Right, that's a great verse. There's another one too, Pastor Bill, in 1 John 2:16 says this, for the world offers only the cravings for the physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. No Christian becomes worldly all of a sudden. Cravings and addictions creep up on us gradually. So here's the question. How are these cravings, which have become addictions, creep into our life of a Christian so suddenly?
You know, all I can do, I thought about that question, and I believe the Lord took me back to Genesis 3, 1 through 6.
Okay.
There's a three-phase, how can I say, plan that the devil puts on us.
Right.
Satan came to cause Eve to doubt what God had said.
Right.
With addiction, I can never be happy in the things of God. The joy of the Lord can never make me happy. I can never be fulfilled with serving God. And so he puts doubt in God's word that we are complete in him.
Right.
That all of our joy can come from him.
Right.
That we can have all that pertains to life and godliness through him. So we begin to doubt that, because when Satan came to Eve, he said, oh, God has said what? Don't eat of the tree? Are you kidding?
Right.
And then he goes to the second one. He creates a dissatisfaction. And he said, you know, if you would go ahead and eat of that fruit, you'd be like God.
Right.
So he puts a dissatisfaction like, oh, see, they were already made in God's image.
Right.
And he was tempting him with a lie.
Right.
The grass on the other side always looks greener.
Yes.
And addiction, all those people out there partying look like they're having a great time, but you don't see them the next morning, the next day when they're fighting with their wife and they're miserable wretches and going through withdrawal.
Right.
So the addiction or the lie to eat the fruit of the tree, is always put there because a false dissatisfaction. Oh, you're not like God. If you eat of the tree, you'll be like God. Oh, you're not happy. You're not the cool person until you do these things.
Right.
And then lastly, then he dangles in front of our face a carrot called our flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because the Bible says that the fruit was good to look at, it was good to taste, and it was to make them wise.
Right.
So he gives us doubt in God's word, he makes us dissatisfied with what we are, and then he puts a false fulfillment in front of us to eat the fruit.
Yes.
And he uses the lust of your eyes and the lust of your flesh and the pride of life to do it.
And then so comes the fall.
Absolutely.
Yep. We've got another great verse in Titus 2:12. It says this, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and world passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Pastor Bill, salvation is not only a charge and position set free from the slavery of sin, but is also a change in attitude, appetite, ambition, and action. The same grace that redeems us is also reforms our lives and makes us godly. So here's, as we getting close to our time, a last question. How are we disciplined in God's grace and trained to be people to glorify him?
Well, I'll tell you, grace is the most powerful thing. We need to renew our mind and put our flesh under first.
Yes.
So we can think like God and act like God. Grace is twofold. It's forgiveness of sin, but it's also empowerment over sin.
Right.
And 2 Peter 1:2 says that grace is multiplied through knowledge.
Right.
Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God. So when we get the knowledge of God, our grace and peace gets multiplied.
Right.
So we got to stick with the word of God. Grace is accessed by faith, it says, right, in Romans 5:5. For by grace you're saved through faith.
Right.
So our faith can grow, the Bible says. And God gives more grace to the humble. And, you know, I believe this, we can grow our faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word. Faith doesn't come by praying for it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God and knowing and believing what God has promised us.
Right.
And I think that faith is a way of life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
So I think we walk by faith, and that is how we overcome. We have faith in God's word to not eat of that tree.
Right.
We have faith that we're already made in God's image as a believer.
Right.
We have faith that we can overcome. What is it that overcomes the world? Even our faith.
Right.
Amen.
Right. That's why it's so important for us today that it's essential, two things that I see, Pastor Bill, being in the Word of God daily. It's essential. It's the same as you get up in the morning. You have this breakfast and you have these hunger pains. You're hungry right out of the bat, and you're going to go out and fulfill that, that need, right?
Excellent.
And it should be the same way with in our faith walk with getting into the Word of God. And also, too, being plugged into a Spirit and Truth church.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
It is just the truth.
Because a lot of times people say, I don't understand. Well, a better way to do that is to get plugged into a church. You're involved in a Sunday service, and the pastor is breaking it down. That's what you literally do.
Yep.
You're breaking down the scriptures for us to understand that into a level of meaning that I can take it out in my everyday ordinary life.
Amen.
And live it.
Absolutely.
Isn't that just the key?
I believe that my life would have been in ruin if I wouldn't have found a church where God had led me to go to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I got a closing verse for us this morning, Pastor Bill. I think it's going to give us some encouragement. It comes out of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says this: "This high priest of ours understands our weakness." Now, again, the high priest is Jesus, right?
Yep.
"Understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same things we did. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly." I want to say that again.
Yes.
"Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God.
Yep.
We will receive his mercy. We will find his grace to help us when we need it most."
When we need forgiven and we need power to overcome the sin.
Absolutely. And that is so important for us to come boldly to the throne of grace
Absolutely.
Of God. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Well, in closing, maybe today you're listening, and maybe some of these things that we spoke about really is something that has helped you as you think about maybe there's addiction that you're dealing with. I know, Pastor Bill, your door is always open at Jubilee
Absolutely.
Church.
Amen.
And how would they get a hold of you if they wanted to talk to you about an addiction, something they're dealing with in their life?
Yep.
What would be the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, we're at 401 South D Street in Oski, but we'll give you our cell number, 641-660-0681. You can call, and we're in the phone book.
Say that again, if you
would. It is 641-660-0681 is my personal cell phone. And we are in the phone book, and the church's number is there, and we have a website, Jubilee Family Church.
Yes.
And you can access us a lot of different ways, but we absolutely want to help anyone who is dealing with addiction. And I believe that the Word of God has a lot to say about it, and you can get help.
That's right. Well, let's close in prayer, and then we'll close. We are out of time this morning. Again, Jesus, we want to thank you so much for helping us this morning, helping us as the very words that you spoke, and also, too, thank you, Father, for the words that were spoken in the Old Testament. And Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us inspiration and also, too, giving us the power to step away from the addictions. And Lord, I just pray right now that maybe somebody out there this morning is struggling with the very things that we talked about. I pray, Holy Spirit, that they would come to this moment as the prodigal son. He comes back to the Father, chases him, and the Father stands with his arms open wide and ready to receive him back in. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious holy name. Amen. Again,
Amen.
Pastor Bill, thank you for being with us today. What a great
pleasure.
It just goes so fast.
Amen.
Yes. Well, again, thank you. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.